You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Happy Easter, everyone, and welcome to the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. Let's begin with prayer. O God, source of all mercy and goodness, in almsgiving, fasting, and prayer, you have shown us a remedy for sin. Listen with love as we confess our weakness, and when we are bowed down by the knowledge of our guilt, lift up our hearts with the assurance of your mercy. We ask this through Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, brothers and sisters, have you had enough chocolate? Have the children have got chocolate rings around their mouths? I hope that you have had a beautiful Easter Sunday. You know, it is the happiest day in the church year. Mark tells us that the first witnesses to the resurrection fled from the tomb, saying nothing, for they were afraid. And we know that this is not the end of the story. Joy overcomes fear. We are a church today because the women who witnessed the resurrection spoke to Peter. They spoke to the disciples. Yes, it took time for reality to sink in, but the news of the resurrection was just way too big, too good not to share. And so we continue sharing today because for us too, joy overcomes fear. And as Easter people, we cannot help but share the news. He is risen. So how does God's overflowing creative love first manifest itself for us? It lights our world. When God introduces light into the formless void, a certain thing happens, an occurrence between light and darkness, day and night, sin and redemption. God's creation bursts not only with goodness, but also the clarity that comes from light. Even when we lose our way and find ourselves in darkness, God sends the light of the world to help us turn like green shoots growing toward the light. The resurrection brings light back into our world, nurturing us, leading us. Thanks be to God indeed. You know, there are three phases that we have the privilege of witnessing during this time. Mary Magdalene goes through. The hope that Jesus brought in his message, the loss and grief at his crucifixion, and the realization of a promise fulfilled on Easter Sunday. She is transformed, hope to grief, to joy. And as she meets Jesus after his resurrection, going on to become an apostle to the apostles with the good news, it's at that intersection of hope and pain that Jesus transforms us. He walks with us on that journey. Easter Sunday, brothers and sisters, is a story of our faith. And this Easter, let's just take that opportunity to reflect on our own journey of transformation. And with Mary, we can relive and remember those three phases of hope, grief, and joy to truly appreciate and celebrate the transformative gift that is the resurrection of Jesus in our own lives. From the beginning of creation and through the desert and slavery in Egypt, through exile in Babylon, via the wisdom and the prophets, and the rise and fall of God's people, through ministry, crucifixion, death, and burial in a tomb, the most important story of our faith is told in the dark. Under darkest cover of night, we can tell the story of the meaning of all of life's suffering. Jesus is with us in it, rising from it and bringing all creation with him. This is not just another story. It is the heart of everything we believe. Death is not the final word. Death is not the final word. There is no darkness, no suffering, no destruction that God will not turn to glory. Hallelujah! Where whatever pain we are carrying, we can have hope that if it still hurts, we just haven't gotten to the end of the story yet. I will share something of a testimony of someone. She said, when a dear friend of mine was dying, she shared a message with me that God had sent her. Jesus whispered to her that whether I live or die, I will live. Just as God shared this with her, so the angel in the vigil gospel proclaims to each one of us, you and I, brothers and sisters, he has been raised from the dead, and that is my message for you. May we live by this joy this morning and into the rest of eternity. You know, Mary Magdalene stood weeping at the tomb where the body of Jesus had been placed. She needed to be there. In fact, she went twice. Just as she had needed to stand at the foot of the cross with his mother as he died. Her loss was greater and her sorrow was deeper than any fear that she might be arrested for being his follower. And then, Easter. Mary Magdalene was the first to experience Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. He commissioned her to be an evangelist to his apostles, the bearer of good news, so they could share the truth of Jesus Christ, Son of God, with all people to the ends of the earth. And that same good news is now entrusted to each one of us to share with the people in our lives. The scriptures and prayers of the 50 days of Easter are rich and they're strong. The gospels offer the challenges of living each day, excuse me, as faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, who came to show us the way. God's great love for each and every person has no expiry date. God, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer, never tires of holding us in life and love. This is the wonder of Easter. Hallelujah! Christ is risen. Brothers and sisters, isn't it? This is such a joyous time. Jesus took the sting of death away from us. He poured his body, his blood, his spirit, his everything on the cross for each one of us. And each one of us is a sinner. Each one of us are striving towards holiness. And we are all trying to be as close to Jesus as possible. And to get close to Jesus, let us remind you that it is through the intercession of Blessed Mother Mary. When you get close to Blessed Mother, you are getting close to Jesus. Mother Mary is our intercessor. She is the one we go through. Because believe me, when you pray to Blessed Mother, Jesus is listening and Jesus is right there. But he wants you to go through Blessed Mother. Brothers and sisters, Easter is such an awakening of the soul. It's awakening of the spirit. It's a renewal. It's like, forget what you've done in the past. Let's start fresh. Let's put on that clean white shirt on and let's go forward with the faith and the love that we have in Jesus Christ, our Savior. And when we have faith and belief that Jesus rose from the dead and is seated at the right hand of the Father, that Jesus is alive today, yesterday, and tomorrow, that Jesus is always going to be with us. He is with us in front of us, beside us, and behind us. He holds our hand when we think he's not there, but he is there. Brothers and sisters, this is a beautiful time of year, a beautiful time to start fresh, to start new. It is a wonderful reflective time. And to ask God's forgiveness. And you know, brothers and sisters, it's never too late. And let's say maybe you haven't gone to confession. It's never too late. It's never too late to sit down with somebody such as our priest. And really, our priest is the one we sit down with. And pour our heart out. And bring all the ugliness of it, whatever it may be. And bring it. And you know, brothers and sisters, not long ago I was listening to of how to make a good confession. And I remember there was a YouTube, and maybe you've already heard it, maybe it's old news to you, but Father Mike Schmidt, you know, he says, you know, so many times when people confess to me, he says, I forget. He says, I don't sit there and say, oh yeah, I remember that. Oh, I remember you. Or no, because they hear so many, you know, confessions, that they deal with the confession at that moment and they give you your penance, whatever it may be. But then they move on. They have to move on to the next confession. So it's not like he sits and listens and holds them and starts sort of taking like a checklist or a grade that he gives you or something. It's not like that at all. So it's a very beautiful time to clean out the cobwebs of your soul, to get that spring cleaning into your heart and start fresh. So I pray, Lord, that everyone here listening today is really at a place where they can affirm their baptismal promises, their baptism, and to renew their faith, to renew their love of Christ. And this is a beautiful time. So brothers and sisters, yes, Easter, when we light that Paschal candle, and a new fire comes and into a, you know, it's Jesus is the light of the world, right? He is the light. He is the light in a darkened church, right? Christ is our light, right? And it's proclaimed three times. The ancient chant, the exalted rejoices at the present reality of God's deliverance and the blessings of salvation through the Passover of Christ, right? So bread and wine, Jesus comes among us in the Eucharist. He comes into the darkness of our lives with his risen life. The time of waiting is completed. And yet we also look ahead to the final fulfillment of the Paschal banquet, when we shall see him face to face one day, brothers and sisters. There was a beautiful picture that I had seen in my cell phone during these past few weeks of Lent. And it was showing a young girl just holding on, just grabbing Jesus by the shoulders and embracing her arms around him and saying, "I'm so happy to see you. Like, you know, I'm so happy that I'm here with you." Like, just so relieved and so excited and so thankful. A time of gratitude. And that we need to realize, that Jesus died on the cross for us. Not just, you know, an ordinary, what if there is such a thing as a simple death. Brothers and sisters, he suffered beyond our understanding. And it's very difficult to watch the passion of the Christ. The passion of Christ. Even remakes of the Passion. It's very difficult to watch how a human being was tortured. But yet, brothers and sisters, he died for you and I. God sent his only begotten Son, because God loves us that much. That much. He loves you, brothers and sisters. He loves all of you. And he forgives you. But come to him. So don't waste another moment. Come to the cross, brothers and sisters, and together with Jesus, may you rise up in joy and excitement and in great faith, and be a disciple for God, be a disciple for Jesus, be a disciple. Spread the news. Tell people how God has intervened in your life, how he's made a difference in your life. And you know what? If you open your hearts, he will. If you ask him, he will, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to enter your lives. And may this Easter be a blessing for all of you, brothers and sisters. It's a beautiful, beautiful time. I guess I can't overstress that, because, brothers and sisters, my goodness, what would we do without Jesus in this world? My goodness. Look at the world today and how much we need the Lord in our lives. We need him so much. You know, here's a sweet little prayer. And also, I would encourage you, if you haven't, is to do the Stations of the Cross. And I do believe on the Radio Maria Father's Quilt website, Father Quilt, the Father's Quilt, my show, I've done the Stations of the Cross, and you could follow along, or if you could make a visit to the church, that would be nice, at your church or any church, for that matter, a Catholic church, and go and partake in the Stations of the Cross. Remember, in Matthew 16, take up the cross and follow me. And so, you know, the meaning of these words is really, truly unmistakable. To follow Christ means to share in a sacrifice. But when we discover that sharing and sacrifice involves suffering, well, we incline to concoct for ourselves a brand of comfortable Christianity. And so we are poor in spirit. And perhaps also, in fact, trying to be both meek and merciful, seeking peace while suffering in injustice, right? At the same time, he who invited us to share in his sacrifice promised to share with us the strength and the courage he manifested in offering himself in sacrifice for us. And what does he say to us? Such beautiful words. Come to me, he says. Jesus says, come to me. Don't worry about whatever you've done. Don't think about, come, just come. Come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome. And I will, doesn't say maybe, I will refresh you. Take my yoke upon your shoulders and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble of heart. My yoke is easy and my burden light. Come to me. We come to Christ and he to us when we participate in the liturgy of the Eucharist, which the Second Vatican Council called the fountain from which all power flows. Each time we come from the table of the Lord, we carry in our bodies the dying of Jesus, so that in our bodies the life of Jesus may be revealed. But unless we keep alive in our conscience the dying of Jesus, we cannot reveal his dying in our everyday living. The liturgy of our lives must affirm the liturgy of the Eucharist. Learn of me. Christ's entire life, brothers and sisters, was a lesson in sacrifice, but it was during his passion, the climax and culmination of his saving mission, that he taught most convincingly how sacrifice transforms suffering into love. We will never learn this lesson, however. We'll never learn it unless we study it frequently. We will never accept this mystery unless we meditate upon it regularly. You know, long ago, St. Augustine assured us that there is nothing more advantageous, nothing better adapted to ensure our salvation than daily meditation on the sufferings of Jesus Christ. St. Bonaventure registered concurrence with his view when he wrote, with this view, the true disciple of Christ, who desires to conform himself to the Savior, who was crucified for our sake, must strive above all to carry about in his soul and body at all times the cross of Jesus Christ, unless until he experiences within himself the truth of the apostles' words, with Jesus I am nailed to the cross. The lives of the saints confirm the conviction of these two doctors of the church. It would be difficult to enumerate a single beatified or canonized person in whose spiritual development meditation on the Passion did not play a prominent role. When Christ dwelt upon earth and an all-powerful virtue went out from his divine person, healing bodily infirmities, which he does today, brothers and sisters, enlightening the mind and quickening the soul, something analogous comes to pass when we place ourselves in contact with Jesus by faith. To those who lovingly followed him along the road to Golgotha, Christ surely granted special graces. This virtue which went out from him then and still does today, and when in spirit of faith, in order to compassionate his sufferings and to imitate him, we follow him from the Praetorium to Calvary and take our stand at the foot of the cross. He gives us the same graces. He makes us partakers of the same favors. Never, ever let us forget that Jesus Christ is not a dead and inert model, but ever living. Ever living, he supernaturally produces in those who draw near to him in the right dispositions the perfection that they contemplate in his person. Since medieval times, the way of the cross has been the most widely practiced method of meditating on the Passion. It remains the Stations of the Cross I'm referring to. It remains the simplest and easiest means of learning the lesson of sacrifice by studying the divine model of sacrifice. The Second Vatican Council warmly recommended this and other popular devotions, but urged that they be brought into harmony with the scriptures and the liturgy. Many persons will undoubtedly experience the healing, the enlightening, and the quickening virtue that goes out from Christ to those who meditate on his Passion. Brothers and sisters, I hope you make time to visit your church on a morning or an afternoon at a time that's most convenient, and pay a visit and spend some time going through the stations of the cross. So, you know, as many Christians visited the city of Jerusalem, made the walk, and wrote about their experiences, well, an entire devotion grew up around the life of Jesus in Jerusalem. And in time, the root of the walk became fixed, right? So there were several reasons for the selection of these particular events of the stations as we know them today. And it was, you know, first the desire of the Christian not only to walk the path, but to pray the way of sorrows, as it came to be called. At first, certain of these points were tied to events in the Passion of Jesus, as recorded in scriptures. And there was the place where Simon took the cross from Jesus, and the spot where the weeping women of Jerusalem met the Savior. But also at work was the desire of the Christian to commemorate in some way the whole life and teaching of Jesus in the way of sorrows, then to walk completely the life of Jesus as we know it from the gospel accounts would entail a trip beginning in Bethlehem, then to Egypt, up onto Nazareth, probably as far north as the foothills of Mount Hermon, and then back south to Jerusalem. On foot, such a trip would require about a year. And that, obviously, impractical, the way of sorrows became a means of commemorating the entire life and teaching of Jesus in a series of meaningful incidents along the path to Calvary. And of course, this brought the addition of many stations that do not appear in the scriptures. Some of the events appear to be derived from the early church tradition, but at least the one, the wiping of Jesus' face by Veronica, is clearly fictitious. The pilgrims also wanted these events to be understood in a way that would be relevant into the individual life of the Christian, as they were much more interested in a reformation of life, including as many as 31 events. The walk finally came to include 14 stops, or stations as they are now called. And during the time of the Crusades, travel to the Holy Land became extremely dangerous, and for long periods of time it was impossible. And so it was at a time when some of the Franciscans came to serve in the war zone, and they presented themselves as helpers to all in need. They provided food, care, and shelter to Muslims fleeing Christians, to Christians fleeing Muslims, and to Christians and Muslims both on pilgrimage, for Jerusalem had become as a holy place for the Muslim as it was for the Christian. All right? So, brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with me on this beautiful day. I pray that your life is abundant and that your spirit is renewed. Father, send your Holy Spirit upon these listeners. Enlighten them, strengthen them. They seek to walk in the path of your Son, Jesus, and to follow in his steps. May they look on this path not simply as an event in history, but as in their own life today. Let them learn, let them understand, and give them the strength to accept and to live this path. Amen.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single. We'll be right back. single